Now I'm going to be speaking to you today from the book of Isaiah. I would be most happy if you would find your Bible and take just a moment. I'll give you a few moments to open your Bible to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. Now I'm going to use several verses of Scripture, and this is a message that is unusual, it's different, it's true to the Scriptures, it's going to answer some questions that I believe you have wondered about. Isaiah chapter 45, and the title of the message is Look Unto Me and Be Ye Saved. And my text is a simple statement recorded by Isaiah the prophet in chapter 45, verse 22, in which the Lord said, Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there's none else. Now, before we get to this primary text, there are some important words to be considered prior to this command. And this is a command. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there's none else. If you look in your Bible there, back at verse 17, it says, But Israel shall be saved with an everlasting salvation. Now, who is this Israel that shall be saved with an everlasting salvation? God says here, Israel shall be saved with an everlasting salvation. And in another passage of Scripture, it says, And all Israel shall be saved. Well, who is this Israel? Have you ever wondered about that? Well, the first time that Israel is recorded in the Bible, the first time the name is ever mentioned, is in Genesis 32:28. You remember that Jacob wrestled with the Lord. He wrestled with the angel of the Lord, it said, and this angel of the Lord is none other than Christ. And before the Lord departed, after that experience with Jacob, he asked Jacob, he said, What is your name? And Jacob replied, My name is Jacob. And then the Lord said, Your name shall no more be Jacob, but your name shall be Israel. Israel, a prince of God. Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, a prince of God. Now that's the first time that the word Israel is recorded in the Word of God. And then after that, the word Israel is used over 2,500 times in the Bible. And most of the time, as most of you know, in its literal application, the word Israel refers to the nation Israel, the typical nation, the nation of the Jews, beginning with Abraham. That when Israel, the word Israel is used in the Bible, most of the time in its literal application, it refers to the nation Israel, the typical nation. But in its spiritual application, as it's used here in Isaiah 45:22, and as it's used in the New Testament when it says, And all Israel shall be saved, in its spiritual and figurative application, the word Israel in the Bible, remember this now, always refers to all true believers in Christ. Israel, in the Word of God, spiritually speaking, Israel is the true people of God. And I can show you that. Now listen to the Word of God. Listen to Romans 9, 6 through 8. Now listen carefully. They are not all Israel which are of Israel. In other words, everybody that descended from Abraham is not of Israel. They which are the children of the flesh are not the children of God. A man is not a child of God simply because he descended from Abraham or from anybody else. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. They're not, when we talk about Israel, naturally speaking, and literally speaking, the nation Israel, Paul is saying there, these are not all Israel that are of Israel, but the Israel is the true seed, the children of the promise, the children of faith. Now look at Romans 9:27. Though the number of the children of Israel, that is the natural seed of Abraham, the nation Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant, only a small part of them shall be saved. Only a small part of them are the children of God. In Romans 2:28, now listen to this. He is not a Jew. He is not an Israelite, which is one outwardly, by natural birth, by descendancy from Abraham. He is a Jew, an Israelite, which is one inwardly. Circumcision is not in the flesh, it's of the heart. And then Galatians 3. Now listen to this in Galatians 3:7. What I'm saying is this, that every time the word Israel is used in the Bible in reference to those redeemed people, all Israel shall be saved, and all Israel shall be saved with an everlasting salvation, it's referring to the children of God, whether they're Jew or Gentile, whether they're bond or free, whether they're male or female. And they are the children of Abraham by faith, not by natural descendancy. Galatians 3:7, listen to this. They which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. I'm a child of Abraham because I believe God. I believe Christ. Ye are the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. If you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and your heirs according to the promise, and you are Israel. You see that? They which are of faith, they're the children of Abraham. You are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. If you be in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. Then you are Israel, and so all Israel shall be saved. So Israel in the Word of God is made up of every true believer, everybody listening to my voice, whether you have, you're from this country or another country or whether whatever nationality may be your ancestry, you're Israel. If you, like Abraham, believe God, because he says there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, but all are one in Christ. So all Israel shall be saved with an everlasting salvation. That's what verse 17 says. Now, look at verse 18, Isaiah 45:18. And he says this is no idle promise. This is no idle promise. Every true believer, every true seed of Abraham, every true Israelite, Jew or Greek, bond or free, male or female, shall be saved because he says, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Look at verse 18. That created the heavens. This is the promise of the Almighty God who established all things. And he said, I am the Lord and there's none else. I can do what I promise. None can stay my hand or say unto me, what doest thou? He said in Isaiah 46, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. I've spoken it. I'll bring it to pass. I've purposed it. I'll do it. So when he declares in verse 17, all Israel shall be saved with an everlasting salvation, all true believers in Christ Jesus shall certainly be heirs of the promise. And the reason this is true is because the Lord willed it and the Lord purposed it and God Almighty said it would come to pass. They said to David, they said, where's your God? We know where our gods are. They're idols which we've made with our own hands. Where's your God, David? I said, our God's in the heaven. David replied, our God's in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased in heaven, earth, in the seas, and all deep places. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he. And that's the assurance of this promise because God said it. God said it. Now look at verse 19, Isaiah 45:19. And God said, all Israel shall be saved with an everlasting salvation because I, the Lord, have spoken it. I, the Lord, have willed it. I, the Lord, have purposed it. And beside me, there's none else. And then in verse 19, he said, and I have not spoken this in secret. I have not spoken this in a dark place of the earth. This is no secret work. Like Paul said to the king, this was not done in a corner. God's promise and God's purpose in salvation, in redemption, is for all to see. This is no secret work. This is no hidden work. This is not something accomplished in the corner. Watch how throughout the Word of God it declares that this is no secret work. First of all, when Adam was the only man who stood on this earth, when the whole human race was in his loins, God said to Adam, and he said to the whole race, the seed of woman shall bruise the serpent's heel. And then when there was the one family, Adam and his wife and sons and daughters and whomever, and the two boys went out to offer a sacrifice, two young men, Cain and Abel. And Cain brought of the fruits of the field and the works of his own hands, and Abel brought the lamb. And God had respect to the lamb. He had respect to the blood, and he refused Cain's offering. And God is saying to the whole human race at that particular time, it's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. And then the whole world watched the ark in preparation for 120 years. And then they saw that ark, which is a picture of Christ, which is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. All who were in the ark dwelt safely. All who were in the ark were delivered from the judgment and wrath of God. And all who were outside of the ark perished, and that's Christ. He that believeth on the Son hath life. And he that believeth not the Son of God shall never see life. And the whole world saw that. And then Egypt witnessed the death of the firstborn. Egypt was the most powerful nation in the world. And God demonstrated his redemptive purpose, his redemptive work, his redemptive will in Christ Jesus right there in the most powerful capital in the whole world for all men to see. I didn't do this in secret, he said. I didn't do this in a corner. All Israel shall be saved with an everlasting salvation, God said, because I've purposed it, I've spoken it, and I willed it, and I'll bring it to pass, and it'll not be a secret work either. The whole world is going to see how I save sinners and through whom I save sinners. And he showed them that when he had them put the blood on the doorpost. And he said at midnight, where there's no blood, the firstborn in every home will perish. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And that took place that night, and the whole world witnessed it. And then Jesus Christ didn't come secretly into this world. God hung a star over his birthplace for all to see and sent angels down here upon the hillsides to announce the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. He said, I didn't do this in secret. And those angels said to the shepherds, behold, we bring you glad tidings of great joy unto you, as born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. God can't come to earth in secret. And men heard that voice, and they heard the announcement of the angels, and they saw the star, and wise men came from far away in the east country. And then the gospel of God's mercy and grace through Jesus Christ is preached everywhere in the whole world. And there's not a language, the scripture said, in which his voice is not heard. God said, I didn't do this in secret. And look at verse 19 there as you go on. It says, and I didn't say to Israel, seek me in vain. God's people do not seek him in vain. He said, I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. I tell you, this redemptive work of Jesus Christ is known. It's declared. It's the very expression of the heart of God and the mind of God and the counsel of God and the will of God. And the work of Jesus Christ in redemption is not only known, but it's a righteous work. The work of Christ honors the law. God does not save men by hook or crook. God saves men with a righteous work. He said, I am a righteous God. I speak righteousness. He said, I declare things that are right. I save men by honoring my law and by satisfying my justice on their behalf in the person of my dear Son. And the work of redemption through Jesus Christ is not only known, it is not only a righteous work and a God-honoring work and a law-honoring work and a satisfying work where justice is concerned, but the work of Jesus Christ is a sure and certain work. For God said, therefore, all Israel shall be saved with an everlasting salvation. This is not just a bare invitation, it's a proclamation. This is not a bare invitation, it's a declaration. God said, I've spoken it, and I'll bring it to pass. And then he sounds a warning. Look at verse 20. Then he sounds a warning. In verse 20, he sounds a warning to those who set up false gods. He says they have no knowledge. They have no knowledge. They're ignorant. Who set up false gods, who worship idols and graven images. They have no knowledge. He said they have no knowledge who pray to a God who cannot save. A God who cannot save is an impotent God. A God who cannot save is a powerless God. A God who cannot save is a God who cannot do His own will, who cannot accomplish His purpose. And as I read those words and as I express those thoughts, I think of today's religion. And I think of today's preachers. And I think of today's televangelists who talk about God wanting to do this, but He can't unless you let Him. And God willing to do this, and God trying to do that. What kind of God is this? He said, they have no knowledge who set up idols and graven images. They have no knowledge who pray to a God who cannot save. Can your God save? Well, He can't unless I let Him, then He can't save. Can your God accomplish His purpose? Not without our will, then He can't accomplish His purpose. Then He's an impotent God. How foolish to make our own God. How foolish to deny the living, almighty, sovereign, eternal, omnipotent God of heaven and earth and try to replace Him with a God of our own imagination. They have no knowledge, he said. And then the Lord God in verse 21 again identifies Himself. He keeps saying this. He keeps saying this. He said in verse 21, I declare the end from the beginning. From ancient times, the things that are not yet done. God said, who hath declared this? Who hath announced this? From ancient times, who hath declared what shall come to pass? Who can prophesy a cross unless he has the power to erect one? Who can prophesy and foretell that all Israel shall be saved unless he has the power to save? Who can declare, my will shall be done, my purpose shall be accomplished, except the sovereign almighty God who can accomplish that will and purpose? Known unto God are all His works from the beginning. That's the living God. Doth God know? Is anything too hard for God? He said, I declare the end from the beginning. He said, there's no God beside me. You know, when men foolishly try to defend all religions, well, all religions are all right. Just live and let live, preacher. All cults and sects and religions are all right. We're all going to the same place. We're just traveling different roads. Wait a minute. A man's without understanding who talks that way. God said, there's no God beside me. There's no salvation beside mine. There's no Redeemer beside my Son. Eternal life is to know the true God, the living God, and Jesus Christ whom He hath sent. There is no God beside me. He says that two or three times in this passage of Scripture. There is no God, no God, no God. And I'm a just God and a Savior. A God without perfect holiness is no God. A God without a perfect law and righteousness is no God. A God who is not just and who does not punish sin is no God. A God who has no wrath for the ungodly is no God. He said, I'm a Savior. That's true, but I'm a just God and a Savior. Yes, I'm a merciful, gracious Savior, but I am a just, holy, and righteous God. And any saving I do must be consistent with my holiness and justice and righteousness. So the Lord declares, I am a Savior. That's why all Israel shall be saved, because I'm a Savior. And all Israel shall be saved righteously and in a holy manner, consistent with my justice by the blood of my precious Son. But they shall be saved in the only way that a just, righteous God can save, and that is to honor His law. Honor His law. Who's going to honor His law? You're not, and I'm not. Well, His perfect Son did. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. And that God will save in a way that will satisfy His justice by the obedience of Christ and the death of Christ in the sinner's room instead. That's what Galatians 4:4 and 5 says, in the fullness of time, when the fullness of time was come, God sent His Son into the world, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them born under the law. Romans 5:19, by the disobedience of Adam, the many were made sinners. So, by the obedience of Christ, shall the many be made righteous. I'm a just God and a Savior. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Romans 5:10, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. 2 Corinthians 5:21, He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. All Israel shall be saved with an everlasting salvation, because God said, I've purposed it. I've willed it. And it's no secret work. It's no secret work. It wasn't done in the corner. It wasn't announced in secret places. It was done openly before heaven and earth and hell. And it was an accomplished work. For that God who is a Savior is a just God. Then watch this. Then comes the great command. And here I get around to my text. Therefore, look unto me. Look unto me. All Israel shall be saved with an everlasting salvation, because I've purposed it, God said. I've spoken it. I'll bring it to pass openly before my throne of grace and righteousness, and before the open jaws of hell. I'll satisfy my justice and honor my law. It will come to pass, and it'll be in such a way that men won't sneak into heaven. They won't get there by the skin of the teeth. They won't be brought to the back door and sneaked in. They'll be brought in triumphantly and victoriously in Christ. That's right. Therefore, you look to me. I'm God. Look to me. All the ends of the earth, every son of Adam who has a need, who has a thirst, who has a sin, look to me and be ye what? Saved. For I'm God and there's none else. You know, the Lord gives us an illustration. I want you to stay with me a moment. The Lord gives us an illustration in the book of Numbers. The Jews had murmured against God, and the Lord had judged them and sent fiery serpents among them. And people were dying, just many of them dying. And Moses went to God and he said, Lord, help us. Help us. Show mercy. And the Lord said, Moses, make a serpent of brass in the likeness of the serpents that have bitten the people, and put it on a pole. And then command the people to look and live. Look and live. And they did. Those who were bitten looked, and they lived. And I noticed several things about that story. First of all, they were not told to look to Moses. They were told to look to the serpent. Looking to the preacher and the prophet and the priest not going to help you. You're going to have to look to Christ. You see, our Lord came down here and was made in the likeness of sin. What had bitten us? What was destroying us? What condemned us? Our sins. And He was made in the likeness of sin, and He was lifted up on a cross. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him, looketh to Him, just like those Israelites in the wilderness. Look to the brazen serpent, then you look to Christ. Not to Moses, not to me, not to the priest. Not to the preacher, not to the evangelist. And these people were not told to help others who were bitten and their good works would save them. No, look to the serpent. And they were not told to fight the serpents and clean up the camp. Let's fight. Let's get rid of all these serpents. Let's get rid of sin in America and then we'll all be saved. No, you're not going to get rid of sin until you kill every human being. You got to look to Christ. And they were not told to wear an image of the pole and a serpent around their neck. Couldn't you just imagine those people? One of them got him some gold and he whittled out an ornament, you know, and put it around his neck or her neck. And there was the serpent and there was the pole and there was the snake bite too. And there was death. Look to the Lord Jesus. Don't wear His cross around your neck. Look to Him. They were not told to bring an offering to the serpent. They were not told to go to a room and talk to a counselor. Now, the thing for you to do if you're a sinner and you need salvation is go to the room, talk to the counselor, or call on the phone. We got counselors standing by to help. They can't help you. They can't help themselves. You need to look to Christ. You need to get everybody out in between you and Christ and get to Christ. That's right. Get to the Lord Jesus Christ. No, and they weren't told to pray a certain prayer. Praying wasn't going to help them then. They got to look to the serpent. They got to look to the Savior. They got to look to one who can deliver them and heal them. They were told to look. Can you do that? Just believe God. This is the good news of the gospel. All Israel, all true believers of all nationalities, all ages, all backgrounds, all who can believe God, all who can believe Christ, all who can receive Him shall be saved with an everlasting salvation. God said, I've purposed it. And I haven't done it in the corner. I did it on a cross for the whole world to see. And it'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. And I did it in such a way that I'm a just God and a Savior. Now you look to me. You look to me. Get all these people out from around you and in front of you and before you and between you and God. Just move. Just move. Don't bother me. Let me get to Christ. And you look to Him in the covenant of mercy as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You look to Christ who came in the flesh and obeyed God's law. You look to Christ who died on the cross and put away our sin. You look to Christ who arose from the dead and ascended to glory. You look to Christ who sat down at the right hand of God as our only mediator. You look to Christ who will come again to receive you under Himself, that where He is, there you may be also. Whom? All the ends of the earth. All the ends of the earth. For I'm God. And there's none else. And the disciples said, well, show us the Father. And Christ said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Now you need this message, and some friends of yours need this message. Look unto me and be ye saved. Now I've got it on a cassette tape, an audio cassette tape. And I've got one on the other side called Preaching the Cross. Preaching the Cross I'm going to bring next week. You want this tape, the announcer is going to give you an address. They cost us more than the price for which we sell them. You send $2 donation, we'll send you this tape. Until next week, God bless you, everyone.